always curious whether Luke tracked down those shepherds. I suspect he might have done. Because what he wrote down there, I reckon, is first-hand information from the shepherds. Because there were only a few of them that actually saw that event. And isn't that wonderful that more than 2,000 years later, we are still talking about it? They would never have thought that, but I'm just so grateful to Luke for tracking them down, because I suspect he did. Well now, no marks for guessing what I'm going to be talking about today, seeing as there's a theme running through this. But I'm guessing that the heavens are always busy. I've no idea, but I'm guessing that the angels are always being dispatched, and I'm guessing that the heavens are always busy. But do you know what? Over a year before this particular scene happens, God's got plans and he's putting them into action. And we look at this scene and we speak about it over the years, and we could be forgiven for thinking that it happens all at once. That God goes boom, 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 and it's in place. And you know what? It isn't true. That is not what God did. And so it's really good for us just to go back and see what's going on. Hi, guys. Welcome. You're going to enjoy yourself. Whoops, hang on. Da, 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 two more for you. Whoop. There we go. So, just about a year, just over a year, before the birth of one very special child, the angels were dispatched here and there. Well, actually, Gabriel was dispatched, okay? So, Gabriel was sent, do you remember, to Zechariah? And he was told that his wife Elizabeth, in her old age, was going to have a child, and that would be the forerunner. This was John. He would be the forerunner. Okay. 6 months later, nothing happened, you know. And then 6 months later, Gabriel was then dispatched to a young virgin, Mary, and gave her news of an unnatural birth that she was about to go through. So it must have been at least 9 months later when Jesus was born and the angels appeared on that hillside. So we're looking at probably 18 months, maybe something like that. Okay, so this picture is much, takes over a period of time, takes a lot longer than we see here. Sometime between God doing those things, maybe even at the birth of Jesus, we don't know, he started to play in the heavens and a star appeared. We've no idea when that star appeared, but theologians do say that it was probably a couple of years that later, when because that was because of the genocide of the babies. So it was probably 2 years later. So at some stage in this, a star appears in the heavens. And there are some very curious Oriental philosophers who see this star and decide that it's so important that they're going to follow it because something momentous is happening. They think a king is to be born. Now, a little task for you. That's why there are no wise men, philosophers, in this stable scene at this moment in time. They haven't arrived yet, but they are on a journey. And my quest to you is, just as you come in every week, watch where they are on that journey, because they are arriving. Okay? So there you go. So everything comes together in that little backwater town of Bethlehem. And the world changes forever. It changes forever. Wow. It's difficult for us to understand, I think, with the knowledge that we have now. But it changes forever. Why do I tell you all this? Well, because for today and next Sunday, we are going to take what I think is probably a couple of familiar carols, and we are going to look at them and see what those carols are saying to us and what parts of scripture they're looking at. And you would be forgiven for thinking "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night" is the one that I've chosen for this morning, but I haven't. What I have chosen is this one. "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear," that glorious song of old, "from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lowly plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its Babel sounds the blessed angels sing. But with the woes of sin and strife the world has suffered long, beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 years of wrong, and man at war with man hears not the love song which they bring. Hush the noise, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. And ye, beneath the life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow, look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road, and hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on by prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling years comes round the age of gold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors sing, and the whole world give back the song which now the angels sing." We don't always sing it. It's not a song, a Christmas carol as such that we sing every year, but I find it very powerful, especially in the world in which we live. So forgive me for using it for now, because I feel it's got a message to give to us. It was written by Edmund Cear in 1849. It was a poem, and the tune was written shortly after by Richard Storrs Willis. And the tune is called Carol, for those of you who are choral amongst us, and I know that there are some. Reverend Cear was a Unitarian minister serving Wayland Church in Massachusetts shortly after the Mexican-American War. So there'd been bitter strife in America. And the revolution had also been happening. It was at the same time as the revolution in Europe. So, you know, there'd been strife across the whole world. In short, the world was a very unhappy place, really unhappy, recovering from great bloodshed and unsure of the direction it was about to go in. Does it feel familiar? And added to this, Reverend Cear's had a personal battle with having had a breakdown. He had moved from the church in Wayland, which was quite a small church, to a larger church in Lancaster, Massachusetts. And 7 years in, he had had a breakdown, which had seen him move back to Wayland and become a part-time minister there. We've no idea what happened in that time, but it was obviously quite dramatic and quite traumatic for Edmund Cear. And he wrote this poem out of what he saw around him and what he felt within him. So that's the background. And with many Christmas songs, actually, it seems as though they were written for a carol service, for a children's carol service. Can you imagine this song being written for a children's carol? Oh, yes, yeah, you know, that's great, these words. And so then, a year later, the carol service sang it to the tune that Richard Willis had put in place. It found its way to England, and in England, a different tune was put to it. So America sings a different tune to us. And in England, Arthur Sullivan adapted a song called Noel, which you might know, to sing it to. So, you know, that's just for the music buffs amongst us. Yeah. So this is the one we sing to this day, the Noel, okay? To the consternation of our American friends. They have no idea why we sing it to such a song, but that's my mother. As with most poems, there's some poetic license. Okay, I'm sure you saw that in the first verse. Scripture does not technically mention that the angels sing on that hillside. Did you know that? They don't technically mention that. However, it does say that they appear praising God. And I don't know about you, but I find it extremely difficult to spend time praising God without bursting into song. And I suspect that the angels did exactly the same. And there is definitely no mention of harps. Okay? None whatsoever. Okay? But, hey, you know, at the end of the day, does it really matter? No, it doesn't. I can imagine that night, those angels were hopping up and down up there. They were so excited. Can you imagine? This was to be dispatched to do this. It's happening, folks. They'd been waiting for this, and now it's happening. They were so excited. No matter what, in the quiet of the night, the heavens intervened, and shepherds, who were quietly minding their own business, were brought to a realization that they were not alone. Definitely not alone. That's the first verse. And in effect, that's Christmas in this song. All right? So when we sing it, the first verse is that. The second verse, though, says, still through the cloven skies they come. They're still giving this message to this day. If the world is still enough, stopping its Babel sounds, it too, this Christmas, will hear the call of the angels to praise the birth of Jesus. Cloven skies. Ever thought about the word? What on earth does that mean? It just means they've parted. Okay? And suddenly the clouds are parting and there's this host, this myriad angels, cloven skies. The referenced Babel sounds that people feel is towards the Tower of Babel back in Genesis 11 verse 9. And do you know what was happening then? People were getting too clever for themselves. And they were ignoring God. They thought they could do things better. And what did God do? Well, he brought about new languages, confused them with different languages so that they had less of a reliance on one another and more of a reliance on him. What's important is you're getting too clever for yourselves. You're ignoring the Creator. Today, this line in the song, I think, is just as relevant. Are we getting too clever for ourselves that we ignore our Creator? At our peril, do we ignore our Creator? We fill the air with Babel sounds, confusing one another, certainly confusing me, if you look at technical things on technical sites, I've no idea. I was saying to my grandchildren the other day, bytes, gigabytes, mega, whatever they are, I don't know. It just goes whoosh, and I get so confused. The world is a confusing place. It tries to persuade one another to agree or disagree with the latest philosophies, forgetting our Creator's mark upon us. And Sears really is saying, stop. Just stop and listen to what God is doing. And verse 3, well, we're going to sing this song. When you sing verse 3, it just, but with the woes of sin and strife, the world has suffered long. Beneath the angel strain have rolled 2,000 plus now years of wrong. And man, at war with man, hears not the love song which they bring. Oh, hush the noise. Stop, ye men of strife, and hear the angels sing. Be quiet, you men and women of strife. Our world seems a dark and dangerous place at the moment. Everywhere we look, there is dissension and turmoil. People are made homeless and displaced. Women being deprived of a voice. Christmas threatened with being cancelled in Mozambique. Talk to Charles about that. Wars and rumours of wars. Catastrophes, natural and man-made. In a world with so many distractions, it is difficult to find time to be still. And I'm not sure we know how to truly listen anymore in our world. We probably don't even know what it means. I probably don't even know what it means to be still. Our world so needs to hear these words again of this song. Our world needs to hear it. But what about us? Do you get distracted? I know I do. We were on holiday in September. We had to leave our holiday let. Brother and sister in-law were with us, and I was chivying everybody out and making sure that everything was done, and that's my excuse. And I put out the rubbish, and we made sure that this holiday let was as perfect as when we walked into it, and off we went into our cars, and then off we went. And about 35 minutes into our trip, Bob was driving, we were going up to London. I thought, oh, I'll just let the children know that we're on our way. Rifle in my bag, rifle. Is my phone in my pocket? No, find out on the back seat, no. I said to Bob, do you know what? I think I've left my phone in the holiday let. Okay, he said, I mean, give him his due. I mean, he could have, but 35 minutes in, he said, well, before we hit the motorway let's turn round. So we turned round and we went back all the way to the tip of Kent. And sure enough, I had left it on the side in the kitchen. I'm so grateful it was there because we had to put a key in a key safe afterwards, and I was worried in case the cleaner had come in and used the key and then I'd have absolutely no way of getting into this place. But anyway, that didn't happen. So, distractions. We get distracted, don't we? Oh dear. Sometimes with fairly bad consequences. So leaving that phone meant that we had to drive back for it. Wasted time, wasted petrol, wasted energy, wasted opportunities. Sear knew the power of distraction. The devil uses it frequently to take our focus away from God, you know. You don't believe me? Well, just think about the times when you're spending time with God and the phone goes. Or nowadays, the messenger pings. Oh, I better look at that. What about the doorbell going? Or people or children wanting your attention. Thoughts reminding you of urgent things you've forgotten to do or even need to do. Yeah? We get distracted. Our attention wanders away from listening to God, and we hear what is going on around us instead. And the consequence is that we miss the Father's love song to us in the birth of Jesus. So for us, let's not get distracted this year with all the Christmassy stuff. Let's make sure we hear the Father's love song. Now, the fourth verse, when I read it, did you think to yourself, oh, I didn't know that verse? Yes. Yeah. No. It's a verse we don't sing. And the reason we don't sing it is because it's not very Christmassy. Okay? And this, I think, was from Seer's Heart. And ye beneath life's crushing load, whose forms are bending low, who toil along the climbing way with painful steps and slow. Look now, for glad and golden hours come swiftly on the wing. O rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. I can hear, knowing what Sears might have gone through, his words here. And I don't know about you, but for each one of us, do you feel sometimes a crushing load that you're under? You know, that you're walking along and life is tough. Let's be honest, life is tough, folks. It can be tough. It's not what maybe we hoped for. Then, as Sears wrote, hear the promise. Hear the promise in these words. Sit down a while, listen to the angels, and know, feel the peace our Saviour has brought for us at such great cost to him. Take time to breathe in his presence. Feel the Holy Spirit filling you. And know that no matter what the world might say, all is okay with you because of Jesus. Circumstances might not change. But sit. Breathe in the Spirit. Allow yourself to feel his presence. That's what that verse says. Isn't it a shame that we have lost that verse in the fullness of time? And then finally, it finishes with a song, a verse of triumph. This is triumph. This is looking ahead. It's saying, oh, crumbs, this is the world now, but no, we're not going to leave it there. This is a triumphant end to this song. We may not see it yet. But as sure as night follows day, peace will come to all the earth and proclaim the Lord as Saviour. They will recognise him as Saviour, now as majestic King. One day, maybe sooner than we think, the words Paul penned in Philippians 2 verse 8 will come to be. And when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death, death on a cross. So God raised him to the highest place. God made his name greater than any other name, so that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and bring glory to God the Father. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now that's triumphant. And that's where that Christmas should lead us to. All right? Not to a stable. It should lead us to that triumph. So as we sing this song, and we're going to sing it in a minute, be reminded that at the coming of Christ as a baby, it is not the end of the journey. It's just that beginning. And we keep going, finding his peace in amongst the distractions of life, resting always in his presence and glorifying him. May we, Lord, act like that star at Christmas. May we point people back to you, and may we find ourselves complete only in him. Amen. We're going to sing.